Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for being with us coast to coast This Week in America. Well, if you love time travel, romance, historical fiction, The Keymaster, When Sessions Collide by Jonathan R. Bacher is for you. The blending of fairy tale fiction and history is not unique in any way, as time travel stories have been told many times and a variety of ways. It's the fascination of living within another realm that draws both the reader and the writer into this mystical possibilities of fantasy. Based upon the hatred that existed between the English and both the Dutch and Swedish settlers of the New Americas, The Keymaster takes place in Newcastle, Delaware, which played a pivotal but rather unknown role in our nation's history as the original center of colonial government prior to William Penn establishing Philadelphia as such. Now, ironically, it was in Newcastle where William Penn first touched the shores of the nation that would become the United States of America. The Keymaster, When Seasons Collide, has it all: fantasy, romance, love affairs, murder, betrayal, and self-growth. And author Jody Jonathan R. Bacher is our guest on This Week in America. Jody, I'll call you Jody. You'll find Jonathan when you're looking for it. Googling, I'll make that distinction as we go through the program. Welcome to the program. I love the story you tell here. I love time travel. I love the history that you bring to life here. Welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you, Rick. I'm happy to be here.
What was the inspiration in writing this story this particular way? This is a remarkable story that you tell, and you tell it so well. What was the inspiration?
Well, actually, the inspiration just for writing in general came from my mother. She was a writer, and she actually wrote a few books, but she never published them. And when she passed away, we couldn't find them. One of the things, I'm an engineer by trade, and so my twin brother and I were always looked at as the illiterate ones in the family. And but my mother recognized that I liked to read, and she filled me with history books. And I read a lot of history at a young age. And she didn't share that same thing with my twin, but she did with me for some reason. So now, as far as this particular setting goes, it's kind of a funny story. My wife and I were asked to be tour guides on a house tour in Newcastle, Delaware. And this is where they would have you. They would invite you in to all the homes and the buildings in old Newcastle. And everybody would get dressed up, and people would talk about the homes. And so my wife was in the back in the garden, and I was in the house. And one of the things I found fascinating was that you could tell these people anything, and they would believe it. So I actually did make up a few stories. I have to admit that. But I thought of how interesting it would be to write something about that. And to be honest with you, the house in the book is the exact house that we were showing for that day.
It's interesting.
And some of the details of the person that lives in my book in that house came from what I knew about that home and the original owner.
That's amazing. I love that. As the tour guide, you can tell them anything and they would believe it. So with that background, I guess you had to be a writer or a politician. You needed to use this skill some way. Fortunately, you're a writer, and we can all enjoy the book, The Keymaster, When Seasons Collide by Jonathan R. Bacher. That's Bacher, if you're Googling. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. As you started writing, and maybe as you thought about writing over the years, were there any particular authors that you enjoyed reading, maybe even tried to emulate their skill set a little bit?
Yeah. Well, when I mentioned to you that my mother had provided me with books to read, Herman Walk, Barbara Tuchman, some of the older ones, Ken Follett, he's not really an older one, I would say. But some of the other ones, of course, I read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. So Bill Shear is one of my favorites. And I read his book to follow up on that as well. And, of course, Leon Uris. So they were some of the writers. They all had different styles. I didn't really try to emulate them, but I did take things from the way they described events and how some of them actually, especially Bill Shear, went through them, and he was involved in those events.
You do such a great job in telling this story and laying it out there. We feel we're there with the characters as they're going through this. The book is The Keymaster, When Sessions Collide by Jonathan R. Bacher, B-A-C-H-E-R. If you're Googling, book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. Link on our website, by the way, as well. Do you have a favorite character in the book? As you're writing this, I sometimes wonder if authors have maybe shade a little bit of the story towards a character that they develop a fondness for as they're telling the story. Anyone that's a favorite for you?
Well, the main character is kind of modeled after myself, with one small exception, is that in the book he commits a murder, and I haven't done that yet, so I don't plan on doing that. But I would say that would probably be my favorite character. My second favorite would be the Indian princess Kalina. She's definitely a favorite character of mine. And the third would be the servant, old Alexander, and his cat Boone.
As you are going through and writing this story, you mentioned the character you really like. Some characteristics that you have are there characteristics of people you know that are reflected in some of the other characters?
Yes, there are. Yes, there are. In fact, he ends up marrying a young lady, and I would say that many would be recognize her as my high school sweetheart, if you will. So some of the characters are stronger than others. Some of them, they all have flaws, of course, and each one of them seems to develop. Some get worse and most get better as the book moves on. But as far as the actual characteristics, I would say Sam carries a lot of the ones that I had growing up and some of the failures that I had in my earlier lifetime.
When you sat down to develop characters, did you have them fully developed? I'm often interested in how writers go about creating their characters. I hear some say, yes, I had their characteristics all written out ahead of time, but then they sort of tapped me on the shoulder and said, no, I don't want to do that. I go in a different direction. What was it like as you were writing? Did you know ahead of time who these people actually are, or did they sort of develop as you were telling the story?
They actually developed as I was telling the story, and they would come to me in the middle of the night. They would come to me while I was in the shower. They would come to me sitting in church. And I have to run home and write down something about them. And once I had that character, I would then have to develop a story around that character and then try to see where I could fit him into the book. Because it would be an interesting character, and I wanted to make sure that he was included in the book and had a meaningful purpose in the book.
The book is The Keymaster, When Seasons Collide by Jonathan R. Bacher, B-A-C-H-E-R, our guest on the program today. Book available, again, wherever books are sold. Link on directly to his Amazon page by going to thisweekinamerica.us. It's such a great story on so many levels. You talked about the flaws that characters have, and you touch on a lot of very important topics in this book. What would you like to get across to the reader if you were going to sort of say why this would be a good book for somebody to read? How would you summarize?
Well, the first thing is the importance of knowing history and how important history is in shaping where our country is today. As far as this book is concerned, I specifically want to, I guess you could say, educate people in the fact that Newcastle, Delaware played a pivotal role in the founding of our country. Everyone thinks of, the British settling in Virginia or the Pilgrims, up in Massachusetts. But, one of the main settlers here were the Swedes that came over and settled in Wilmington, Delaware, and then the Dutch that moved in and settled in Newcastle. And it's very important. There were a lot of important figures that either spent a lot of time in Newcastle. And a lot of the politicking that went on went through Newcastle. It was actually our nation's capital in the very, very, very early days. And most people aren't aware of that, even people who live in Delaware.
That's amazing. I was not aware of that. And what's the, as a writer, when you're going to tell this story, it's a historical fiction, so you're taking history and taking some liberties with history to tell the story. but the basis is factual. How do you balance that when you're trying to get history being accurate, but also using it as the platform for an excellent story?
Well, I use it as a background, but to be honest with you, it did require an awful lot of research because every single character has a story of their own to tell, the real life characters. And to have them interwoven into the storyline, you have to make sure that everything is accurate. So I would read books, a lot of books, from different perspectives. I read books on the Revolutionary War from the British perspective. I read them from the American perspective, from local people who were battling with family members. Some were loyalists, some were supported the revolution. So you really have to do a lot of homework. Even things like buildings, you know, where they're located, what the streets were named, and things like that. So it was educational for me as well because I had to do a lot of research. And again, going back to the all of the wars in Europe that were going on at the time between the Swedes and the French and the Dutch and the British and how they interacted with America. So a lot of the work was spent on research, including the Lenape Indians. And I had to do some work on that as well. Because one of the main characters, of course, is Kalina, the Indian princess, yes. And she's from that tribe.
So often when we finish a book, there's a certain melancholy. It's like, okay, it's over now. I wonder what happened to these people. Boy, I hope the story continues. Do you have that same feeling as an author, and are you thinking about a sequel to The Keymaster?
Yes, and to be honest with you, you know, I hate getting rid of some of my characters. Some of them I did have to kill off. Some of them, things happened to them. However, there is a sequel to this, and some of the characters are going to reappear. One of the characters that you never really see in the first book is the gentleman that started the whole time travel. If you want to call it a curse, you can call it that. He was a pilot in a naval pilot, and he crashed in 2019. He's just kind of in the background. You never hear about him. In the sequel, he will play a major, major, major role. So you're going to start to learn more about the characters. There's also a lot about the characters that when you read the original book, you kind of wonder, well, that kind of makes sense, but is there something more to it? And in the sequel, it goes back and you find out there are a lot of details purposely left out, which will be explained in the sequel.
When you were writing The Keymaster, did you think at that time, I'm going to do a sequel to this, or did it just develop as you were telling the story?
It really just developed. I was thinking about writing one book. Of course, you always think about when you write a book, well, maybe this would be a good mini series on TV.
Exactly, yes.
And so then you start getting into the thought of a sequel. But you also, at the end of the book, you really hate to part ways with your characters. And so you want to, you know, have another family get together with them, if you will. And so that's why I'm bringing a lot of them back into the sequel. Not all of them, but some of them.
What is the timeline on that? Do you have this ready for publication? Are you still working on the story?
I'm still working on the story. I figured out how it ends. And now it's just filling in a lot of the details. In the sequel, they're in a different time era. Sam, who was in the Revolutionary War, is now in pre-war Nazi Germany. And the pilot is actually in America in the year 2025. So there's a lot of things going on, of course, that relate to politics today. But Sam is finding out a lot of things as he's in Nazi Germany. And he's working with the underground resistance. There were a lot of groups that were resisting Adolf Hitler. And I've done a lot of research on those. So when I go back to having real life characters, you're going to be seeing some real life characters that were actual participants in that underground movement. People like Bonhoeffer. There was a group called the White Rose. There was another one called the Red Orchestra. And these are all real people who unfortunately did not survive the war. And but they are going to be in the book.
When you do a book, historical fiction, time travel, which this is, have you thought about doing a different genre, working on anything that maybe a different format, different category of books?
Well, actually, I did write a book, which I haven't published, and it's a recovery book for young alcoholics and addicts in basically what it prescribes is that you have to change your lifestyle. You have to develop a moral code and a sense of perspective on life and setting priorities. And once you establish principles and live by them, recovery would be a lot easier. But the most important part of that is the inclusion of what I call in the book the God factor. That without the God factor, most recoveries fail because they're really nothing more than just drying out and becoming sober, and the root cause of the problem were that you were lacking those principles in the first place. And so it's all about developing those principles, and then it goes through the steps, and it even includes the 12 steps of the alcoholic and Alcoholics Anonymous. And so that's a totally different genre. I've written a couple of children's books, little stories, and they have some messages in them, but I haven't done anything with them. I'm in the process of maybe having someone help me illustrate them.
Well, this book we're talking about is available now, The Keymaster, When Seasons Collide by Jonathan R. Bacher. That's Bacher. If you're Googling, book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, usual places. Link onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and go directly to Jonathan's Amazon page and get information there as well. I want to talk about this time travel. I mentioned this is really sort of captures the attention of readers when you think the what if somebody's past is now their present as they go back and do the time travel, all of that, so many interesting situations that you go through. And I mentioned for a writer as well, do you enjoy writing time travel? Does that excite you as much as it does the reader?
It does excite me a lot because I'm interested in history and I like to see myself as if I was placed in that time period.
Yes.
and how I would do things and how I would react. And once you do that, you can kind of get a better perspective on why people did the things they did way back when. So it is exciting to me. It's also interesting that you really find out that, walking over a blade of grass the wrong way could change history.
Well, yes, it's amazing. And you do that so well in the book, The Keymaster, When Seasons Collide, by our guest on the program, Jonathan R. Bacher. I want to just for another second talk about developing characters and getting attached to them. And I love how you're saying you're in church, you're doing various things and ideas come to you. Do you keep a notepad with you all the time? Have a little phone messages, phone notes that you can write with the characters? I would think if you were really into the story, you couldn't shut them off and go about your normal life without them popping back into your mind. Is that necessarily true?
That is very true. You can't get them out of your mind. It they're like having family members, and they're always there. And you think of things for them to do. You think of new characters that they may be meeting or interacting with. And I do keep a notebook. I keep it by my bed so I don't have to get out of bed in the middle of the night. My wife recommended that. I don't have one in the shower though, but I do keep one with me. And so I'll just jot something down. And if I don't have that notebook, I'll just write something down on a piece of paper and try to go back and fill in the details. Unfortunately, sometimes you'll think of some great ideas and you'll actually write an entire chapter while you're asleep. And the next morning, you can't remember half of what you said. But it sounded really, really good in the middle of your dreaming about it.
On a lesser scale, I would do that with letters. I'd be driving and go through how I'm going to phrase this letter, or in the shower, and it sounds perfect in my mind, but then I sit down to the computer to type it and I can't remember what I just wrote down. So I know what you're talking about and capturing the exact wording, and you're brilliant when you're in the shower. It's just when you have to try to remember that and to write it down. Your characters are so well developed in The Keymaster. Are there any characters you think is maybe the most complex or changes a lot as the story unfolds, because these are multifaceted people?
Well, naturally, the one that changes the most is going to be Sam.
Yes.
The main character, because he's just your average kid with so many flaws. He becomes an alcoholic. He doesn't have the right perspective on life. He becomes paranoid about everything. And once he's in a new landscape with different people around him, he starts to change his perspective on life and he sees things differently. He also spends a lot of time with Kalina, who teaches him a lot of things about the value of life, and he changes dramatically throughout the book. As far as the most complex, it's going to have to be Kalina, the Indian princess, because there's so much mystery that surrounds her, and I just touch on it in the first book. In the second book, you'll find out a lot more about her.
How did you come up with some of the characters and scenarios in the Keymaster? Were all those ahead of time? Were those all like outlined, or again, did some of these develop as you were telling your story?
I would say some were outlined, where I needed to have certain people involved in the book, and of course, I had certain real people involved in the book, but I needed support characters to work with my main characters and lead them in a certain direction. But as far as outlining who they were and what they were about, most of them really developed as the book developed. And some would change during the course of the book. In fact, to be honest with you, I had a different ending in the original version. and I changed it in the end.
So much for an outline. I guess you do that in pencil so you can go back and make those changes. I always wonder, because you talk to so many authors who are very rigid. They have basically everything laid out. They just need to go back and put in the, you know, make it in sentence form so they can sell the book. And I don't know how you would do that. I would think as you're unfolding mentally, as you're telling the story, things would be subjected to change. And that's the case with your book as well. You mentioned a little bit of background, where this writing came from. Trained as an engineer, is this like an outlet for you? Or is this sort of like, rather than, maybe you play golf, but rather than golf and do other, you know, side ventures like that, you like to write?
I do enjoy writing, and it's kind of therapeutic for me. So I do, like when my friends or people that I know are out golfing, I'm sitting behind the computer and writing. And coming up with ideas and just expressing thoughts. It's a great way to communicate. And like I said, it can open up your mind, and I just find that enjoyable. And I also find, of course, reading enjoyable. I'm accused of my brother of reading too much, but he keeps always asking me, how do you know that? Well, I read it in this book over here. So, yeah, again...
Just going to say, it's amazing what you can learn when you read something. So there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not sure that you can read too much. This book is the Keymaster. Read this, the Keymaster, when seasons collide. A minute or so left in the program. You mentioned several points, themes in your book. Very important. It's a story that deals with a lot of issues. The characters are multi-layered, as I talk about. Is there a specific point or two as we wrap up here that you'd like to mention that you hope the reader reads and takes away? It's something memorable from the book, The Keymaster.
Well, I think one of the things is especially if you look at the world today, I talk a lot about in the book, and there's also an appendix at the end which explains the development of Newcastle and how things were impacted by the wars in Europe. But is the hatred, you know, generational hatred that exists between different countries and different people, and how that can lead to a very bad end result for many of them. So that's one of the points. The other point again is that, and I will stress this more in my sequel, is the importance of history. I feel like our school systems have failed our younger generation, where they really don't understand history or know it.
Yes.
And I want to get that across. I guess my last thought on all of this is one of the phrases you always hear is you always hear people say, I'm going to be on the right side of history. And well, there really is no right side of history. History is what it is. And it's done. It's over. You can learn about it, and you can figure out and find out why things happen, which is very important to do, but it's done. It's absolute. But as far as this, being on the right side of history, my version of it is only a fool wants to be on the right side of history. It's the wise man who wants to be on the right side of God.
What a way to leave the program with that thought. The book is so well written on so many levels. The book is The Keymaster, When Seasons Collide by Jonathan R. Bacher. That's B-A-C-H-E-R. You'll find the book where ever books are sold, I thank kingpagespress.com for arranging our conversation, authors, marketing consultant, and getting the word out there about this book, The Key Master. As I said in the beginning, it really has it all. You've got romance, love affairs, murder, betrayal, self-growth, which is, of course, very important. Time travel, it's all there. It's an exciting book. And Jody, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. I'm glad to hear you've got a sequel. You've got another book ready to go. I'd love to have you back to talk about those. It's really been fun having you with us. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. It was my pleasure.
Jonathan R. Bacher is the name of the author of the book, B-A-C-H-E-R. I want to get that out there at the end here. And if you're looking for the name, it's The Key Master, When Seasons Collide by Jonathan Bacher. Book available wherever books are sold, and a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.